Open your Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 11 for study number 104 today, please. This 15-minute audio Bible study commentary is titled 1 Timothy Study 104-Glorious Works. Our text verse for this study is found in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 11, and it reads this way: According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now we want to look at this word glorious found in this verse. Now let us pray and ask God's guidance. Father, give us wisdom and understanding today that we might know how to, Lord, preach and proclaim the word of God. Give us divine wisdom from above. Open our understanding that we might comprehend what you'd have us to have and to know and do out of the word of God today. Touch our hearers, God, that they might hear us today, and may the Spirit of God drive home into their hearts that which we need to say and that which they need to hear. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that you're going to accomplish, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Now this study, which is number 104, is the sixth study on verse 11 of the first chapter of 1 Timothy. This will be the fifth study on the word glorious found in this verse. This is also part of the first statement of the two statements found in verse 11, which are separated by a comma. We will repeat some information we gave you in our life studies as a foundation and as a review for this lesson and bring you up to par. These 15-minute Bible studies are designed to teach, to train. They're designed to inform you of what God expects and desires of our Christian life. I do feel we're living far, far short of what God expects for us to do. We as His people have and are taking for granted what the Bible teaches us. These lessons are designed to keep our thoughts on what we are to be doing in the work of God, and not only what we are to be doing, but how we are to be doing it. Remember that the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus are called the pastoral epistles and are given to help us in guiding the church and leading it in the correct and right way according to the Scriptures. These studies are different from the average studies we're used to doing in that we will stop and dig out these special words in the verses. This may seem like we're running rabbits and looking for filler, but the facts are that this will give us a working knowledge of the Scriptures in the long run. We're not interested in trying to see how many sermons that we can preach off of it. Our thought is that we might learn what we can from the Word of God to make us strong. That's what we're looking to do in these studies. We're trusting and relying on the hand of God and the Holy Spirit to direct our heart and mind to give you something that will direct your heart and your mind as well. With that said, we will now continue in our study of number 104. We state again, as in the previous lessons, that the word glorious is mentioned 44 times in the Bible. The word glorious means magnificent. It means splendid, celebrated, or even superb. We will mention and point out a few Bible references to this word in this study. In our life study, we mentioned the words glorious name used in the Word of God. We will give you a listing of the glorious things that we will expound on in our next lessons from the Bible. We will preach and teach on His glorious honor, His glorious majesty, His glorious voice, and His glorious arm in other studies to follow. We trust these will bless you as they have blessed us in studying them. This study will be the words glorious works of the Lord. Amen and amen. Now, our reference to the glorious works of the Lord is found in Psalms chapter 111, verses 2 through 4. And it reads, "The works of the Lord are great." Did you see that? The works of the Lord are great. sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Notice this verse tells us that five things I want to point out. First of all, it tells us that the works of the Lord are great. Hallelujah, they are. Amen. No works are any greater than the works of the Lord. Secondly, this verse tells us that the works of the Lord are sought out. And we'll expound that just a little bit more in a moment. But what we do is we seek those words, and that's what we're to do, to seek and search out the Word of God that we might know what it means. And then number three, this verse tells us the works of the Lord are honorable, and they are. Praise God, you want honorable works and find you something to do, it's right. Amen, just get in the work of the Lord. Then number four, this verse tells us that the works of the Lord are glorious. Glorious. Amen. That's our text, and we're looking at that today. Glorious. Magnificent, if you will. And then this verse also says that the works of the Lord are wonderful. Praise God for the works of the Lord. And I hope today's lesson will help you, strengthen you, and encourage you to see just exactly these things. There are facts that many times we overlook or just let them pass over our head, and that's these we just mentioned. Our minds and hearts can't comprehend the works of Almighty God. We could write many books and preach many sermons on the works of God and how great they are and never get it all told. So likewise, we will just scratch the surface in this study and will not exhaust it at by no means at all. This verse also tells us that the works of God are sought out by those who love the Lord. Not everyone is looking for the truths and facts of the Word of God. Many are looking everywhere else for what they want and not looking to the Word of God. Only those who have a love for the Lord and are not sidetracked by the world, by the flesh, and by the devil are seeking out the mighty works of God through His Word. There are many works of God recorded in the Bible. But there are two major works of God found in the Word of God that we want to point out in this study today. The Bible centers around these mighty works. First, there's the work of creation found in the first book and the first chapter of the first book called Genesis. Second, there is the work of redemption that is found in this first book likewise and then just after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Many other works of God have been done, but the Bible hinges on these two, and that's what we're going to spend our time on. God has prepared a heaven for the redeemed, and He's also prepared a hell for the devil and his angels. He has instituted the church and given the church the gospel of grace to preach. But if you miss the theme of creation and redemption, you will not fully understand the mind of God or His glorious works. You may die without knowing, but ignorance will not keep your soul out of hell. Multitudes hate the Bible view of creation. They had rather accept some unholy theory of evolution as to think or believe that God spoke the world into existence. Sit down and read the first four chapters of the book of Genesis over and over and over again until you grasp the creation of the world by the hand of Almighty God. Keep reading it until you're persuaded and you become positive that the works of creation are glorious works by the divine hand of a living God. The devil has deceived and led multitudes astray on this very subject. It is amazing of the number of people who believe in evolution rather than the creation of God. The Bible view of creation is not a theory. It's a fact, and it's a glorious work of God Almighty. There are many works of God, but the greatest and the most glorious work of God is the work of redemption of the soul of a man or woman. Salvation is of the Lord. I repeat, I'll tell you again, salvation is of the Lord. Man tries to take it into his own hands, but salvation is of the Lord. God gave the first promise of redemption in the first book of the Bible. We read in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." After the fall of man in the garden, God gives a promise of his son coming into this world, being born of a woman, and paying the sin debt of all mankind. What a glorious promise. Jesus came just like he was promised, as a redeemer of all men and women, and he died on the cross of Calvary for all the sins of all mankind. He died, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead on the third day for our sins. He ascended back into heaven to prepare a place for the saints of God. He is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and me as his children. He will come again to take us with him into glory at the appointed time. Are you prepared to meet him if he came today? Are you prepared? Are you ready? Have you been born again? Have you repented of your sin, or just turned over a new leaf in your life, or maybe had a different thinking on the Son of God? You need to be born again. Now, what a glorious work of God in our redemption. He has made it so simple and free to all. He tells us the way that we can be redeemed. He tells us who he will redeem, and he tells us how he will redeem us. God said in Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God also tells us in his glorious work of redemption that we are all sinners, and that all of us must be redeemed. God said in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God tells us that in his glorious work of redemption, we all must be born again. In John chapter 3 and verse number 3, God said, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, redemption of the soul is a glorious work of God. It's a magnificent work of God. Amen. I thank God for his works. Many are working to get saved, and then they're working to stay saved. But God's redemption plan is all dependent on the glorious works of Calvary and what Jesus did on the cross through the shedding of his own precious, spotless, sinless blood. To ignore or pay no attention to any of these facts will result in your soul being in a devil's hell for all eternity. Amen. Now, all born-again believers are a glorious work of God. We're nothing and can do nothing without him and the glorious redemption that he has provided. We are what we are by his grace. Now, Paul states this. He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10. He said, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." We're his glorious works of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We are a part of the church, which is the bride of Christ, if we have been forgiven and washed in the blood of the Lamb. We as believers are part of the church. The church is the bride of Christ. As the bride and as the church, we will one day be put on display in glory to magnify and glorify the Savior. What a glorious work of God that has been given to each of us. What a glorious time it will be when the glorious God will perform the work of making the church a glorious church to display his grace for all eternity. Notice what God says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. There are no greater works than the works of God. He's a glorious God, worthy of worship and adoration. Let us magnify him to the highest place in our lives. May God touch you and give you a heart that will praise him constantly. There's none like him. There's none greater or more glorious than our God. Praise be unto his holy name. I trust this lesson 104 has helped you and strengthened you. Amen and amen.